Shall we begin lecture?
No.
No.
It'll teach me to ever ask a question in this class, won't it? I think we have a new round of chemistry to begin today, officially in lecture at least, alpha chemistry. So we've already seen the aldol condensation. We've already talked a little bit about alpha protons. Let's backtrack to what's normally presented as one of the first reactions, and that is alpha halogenation of aldehydes and ketones. So here's a common, oh gosh, it's always blurry, isn't it? Moderately better. Let's try that again. Yes, answer. This is the topic we are now discussing, yes. Alpha halogenation of aldehydes and ketones. So there is a ketone. And we're reacting it with bromine and acetic acid. Now, the bromine is not going to do anything directly with the carbonyl. So let's say that means that the acetic acid is going to do something. What could happen between a ketone and acetic acid? I heard some answers, but didn't quite hear them. What is the only thing that's logical to happen with this combination, ketone and an acid? Protonation. But after protonation, so far this quarter, what have we learned is possible? Tautomerization. So, first step, ketone gets protonated. We'll open up the carbonyl as a result. We end up with a carbocation. That if we use acetic acid, we could assume that acetate is around. So acetate could be our base in order to do a deprotonation. Now, I myself have sometimes been a bit imprecise about my reversible and irreversible arrows, so let me address in this reaction so far the fact that protonation is always technically a reversible event. This is a resonance arrow, which means there's no event there, it's just our two structures we're drawing. And then deprotonation, this is entirely reversible as well. You should know that this process is reversible because if you formed an enol, we already discussed back in 12A how that enol would want to tautomerize. So if we're showing a possible forward mechanism and you already know the reverse reaction is possible, you should know the entire thing is reversible. But now that we have bromine around, once we form the enol, then we have a second step possible instead of just the simple decomposition of that enol. Instead, we could have the double bond attack bromine because we already seen a reaction in the past where bromine is attacked. Now, this is a slightly special case, though, so this is not the same mechanism as we saw back in 12A. We're not going to go through the cyclobromonium ion anymore, not like we did in the previous quarter. So, at this point, it's going to be a forward reaction. Now, what do you think about the stability of the carbocation I just drew versus the first carbocation that we formed? So, in other words, let me star two different things here. We have our first carbocation. We have our second carbocation. Can you make any comment on the relative stability of one carbocation versus the other? The second one won't be as so stable. Why not?
Because
It may be what? I'm sorry?
That may be intramolecular SN2
happening. Ooh. Interesting idea, but that's not the reason. But you are correct that this is the less favorable carbocation. There's resonance with the first carbocation as well. But why is this less favorable? Because bromine's electronegative and it's pulling electron density away from something that's already trying to be positively charged. So if you got something that wants to be positive charge, but it's already partially positive, it makes it less likely to become even more positively charged. So the more electron withdrawing groups we put around this carbocation, the less likely that that carbocation is going to form. For that reason, I'm going to show that really what happens next is that this delocalized ion that we just made, Gesundheit, deprotonates and doesn't go any further in reaction. So, after protonation, I'm sorry, bromination, and that's, again, this carbocation that I had started in green. After bromination, the resulting carbocation is less favorable than the initial carbocation, the one that I had stirred in purple. Because of the difference in stabilities of the carbocations, an enol does not form a second time. So halogenation only occurs once. Now, what we have seen for acid mechanisms has often had some kind of reverse behavior when we switch to using a base. So, for example, when we saw the hydrolysis of nitriles, we saw an acid mechanism, we saw a base mechanism. In the acid mechanism, a protonation occurs to coax the carbon-nitrogen bond into opening, and then water attacks. In base, it happens in reverse order. Something attacks first, and then there's a protonation step afterwards. There's going to be that same kind of inversion of mechanism here, where at first we had protonation of that carbonyl and then formation of the enol. We already saw, in fact, last week, or maybe it was even before that now, formation of an enolate, which occurs by an active deprotonation first. But along with this reversal of mechanism pattern, as we go from acid to base, there's going to be a difference in reactivity. Because in this acid case, because it does depend on the formation of the carbocation, and because after adding a halogen, that carbocation is less favorable than what you started with, the reaction doesn't proceed further. So given this big setup that I just gave you, that acids and base, they kind of have contrasting behavior, one might wonder if we switch to the base mechanism, whether this reaction occurs multiple times. Well, let's find out. So again, the top was an acidic mechanism, and now we're working on the basic mechanism. So the first part of this is this the difference in the unsaturated intermediate you get starting from an acid versus base. So in other words, here we're going to deprotonate first. Now, I'm going to use hydroxide. Which, what is the approximate pKa of water? And what is the approximate pKa of a ketone? So is the hydroxide going to easily deprotonate the ketone? No, not really. It's going to be formed only a little bit at a time, whatever enolate will result. Again, 15 versus 19, four orders of magnitude, so square root of four orders would give you about 1/100th of the ratio between one form versus another, which if you solved an ice problem, that would be about the approximate percentage of the enolate that would form versus the total starting material, 1% roughly. But if that 1% forms, it's going to react. So you've heard this same spiel before. You're going to see it again more formally on Wednesday when we really begin alpha reactions. But I want you to get used to this idea. Will deprotonation occur easily? Or better word is, will it occur irreversibly? And no, for this first step, because the pKa values are similar, we have a reversibility of reaction. I'll go ahead and show resonance combined with deprotonation because I've already commented in the past that resonance is not a step. So if you combine resonance with anything, that's fine. The reason I'm doing it is because it allows me in one reaction step to make this enolate, which is the main reactive intermediate. We have bromine in solution. So the next thing that happens is bromine gets attacked. So carbonyl reforms. We have an attack on bromine. That's non-reversible. But we still have sodium hydroxide around. Will the reaction happen a second time? In other words, will an alpha proton want to be deprotonated? So I'm going to circle one alpha proton over here and circle another proton over here. As I tried to set up just a few minutes ago, I tried to set up this opposition in behavior between acid and base reactions. I suggested that maybe partly where we're going with this is if the reaction only happens once in the acidic conditions because of some kind of destabilization, does that mean when we flip everything around, play around with minuses instead of pluses, does that mean we're going to have contrasting behavior? Does somehow a stabilization occur? And the answer is yes, because if the pKa of the first ketone is about 19, guesstimate the pKa of this new ketone. 17? What I'm really asking is the pKa of the green proton to be higher or lower than the purple? Okay, now I'll ask a separate question. Is the green proton to be more acidic or less acidic? More acidic, is that what you all are agreeing on? Or maybe now you're agreeing on it because I'm looking at you this way? If this is more acidic, is it a lower or higher pKa? Lower, and it is a lower pKa. Why? There's a one-word answer. Induction, that's the right word. Because bromine, same reason as up above. Bromine is still pulling electron density away. But before, that was bad because we were trying to make a positive charge. Here, if we deprotonate, we're making a negative charge. Negative charges can be pulled by induction to delocalize a bit, not through resonance, but just to distribute that electron density. That's favorable. And we've seen 12A, when we put fluorines on something, it makes something more acidic. That's exactly what's going on here. So, after bromination, the alpha proton the one in green, is more acidic than the original alpha proton, the one that's in purple, due to induction. The negative charge is, oh, I hate using this word, but it's the best one that's easy, stabilized. The negative charge is stabilized by electron density being pulled away by the halogen. All right, if it's more acidic, doesn't that mean the reaction is going to happen a second time? Because if we're in a solution of sodium hydroxide, we don't normally do those kinds of reactions quantitatively. In other words, one mole for one mole. So if we've just got excess hydroxide around, that means the reaction continues. So we get a second deprotonation, which again, to highlight the fact that this is a delocalized ion, I'm going to build resonance into the same step. Since they're still comparable in pKa's, water that's formed by this deprotonation, or this alpha proton that's just now getting pulled off, that step is reversible. We make an enolate that will again react with bromine. Question I want you to think about, but I'm not ready to discuss because of the time. Why doesn't this oxygen just attack bromine now? Why does it come back through the carbon? Something to ponder on. That gets us a dibrominated intermediate. Compared to the first two alpha protons that we examined, what do you think the pKa of this one is? Lower or higher or equal to the previous ones? Lower, because if you put one bromine on, it makes it more acidic, then two bromines is going to be that much more acidic. So, another round, doesn't it? Oh my gosh. OMG. Start saying things like that, I'm going to have to say this mechanism will pwn you. I know, that's so 2008 now. All right. We made the enolate one more time. The enolate reacts one more time. Oops. I should probably have it react with something like the bromine. What do you think that's going to make mean in terms of alpha acidity now? Nothing. Who said nothing? Leonardi, why? So the other carbon technically has alpha protons, but good, you didn't fall for the trick question, because they're on this carbon we've been working on, there are no more alpha protons. So what's going to happen now? No. If you have a methyl ketone, here's what happens next. What? Oh, did I miss something? Are you all running bets about how many minutes over I run late each day? Is there a blog about it now? Can I join on Foursquare? We may be out of time, but here's the super cool thing that happens in this reaction. Because when you have three halogens on one carbon, at least for iodine, that makes the carbon have a pKa with a hydrogen on it of about 13.3. 13.3, that means it's more acidic than water, correct? So if we had a hydrogen there, we'd be able to easily deprotonate it. But we don't have a hydrogen there, so the whole thing gets kicked off. This is one of those rare times we're breaking a carbon-carbon bond, and that's because of this trick of pKa's. What have I done? You all are making me worried. I've made some monumental mistake here. Which, here we go again, same story. This is technically reversible. Except, because we just made an acid in the presence of a base, we get neutralization instead. So it's the best of both worlds. It's an alpha reaction, and you've got some carboxylate chemistry going on. This thing is called bromoform that we just made. If you had chlorine, it would be called chloroform. If you had iodine, it would be called iodoform. And so in general, this is known as the haloform reaction. And with that, we're out of time. Quick questions. Besides what the answer number one is. No lab report due Wednesday. We did not talk about it in lab section one because I was so worried about you having reflux time. Lab section two, I'm going to stand outside in the courtyard out here and check pre-labs right now if you want to. You're entitled to break time. But if you get your pre-lab checked right now, you can go, when we get to lab, go straight in, get your hot plates warmed up right away so you can get even more reflux time.